What was Matahupo called before Matahupo?
It was called the Silence, and it had been knocking around Italy. More or less the same, but minus me.
How did you get involved with Silence? How did you join the group?
There was a guy, there was a fella called Guy Stevens, who was working for Island Records. He was the head of the A&R for Island Records. And he picked them up, but he didn't like the singer. So he looked around for a singer. One of the people he asked was a friend of mine. And they tried a lot of people, they still hadn't got anybody. So I went down there and did like a Rolling Stone, hurtled up and down the keyboards a few times, and that was it. I joined and Guy called the name of the group Matahupo.
Why was the name changed to Matahupo?
Because Silence wasn't exactly a name that inspired you to run down to your local record store. Matahupo was a real neat name, you know. It was originally given to a guy in prison who died. And Guy never wanted to use that name again, you know. But he gave it us because he really liked the band. Because Guy was responsible for forming Procol Harum as well and giving them their name. Remember when the whole of America couldn't understand where the name Procol Harum came from? They went into all these Latin definitions, and all along all it was Guy had seen it on a cat's pedigree somewhere.
How long was the group together, Matahupo? Totally, you know.
6 years.
6 years? What was the cause of the first breakup of the group?
The first breakup was frustration, but then it all came back together again because of a fella called David Bowie, who gave us a hit single in England. And then we sort of revitalised. Then the second break came last November, and that was an internal thing. That was just me wanting to leave. And by this time, Mick Ronson was playing with us, who'd been with the Spiders from Mars. And Mick wanted to leave too, but so we both left together, and that's what we are now.
What did David do for the group that more or less re-innovated the sound of the group?
Well, first off, he gave us a number two single in England. Second off, mainly it was that engineering technique. We did an album with him. He produced one of our albums. And he did a lot of things with tape, you know, all the things that happened in the studio. I mean, it's daft me starting to tell you it was, but it was basically technically, the technical things that we improved on.
David was a long-time friend, huh?
No, not really. When he found out we'd split the first time, he'd been a fan of an album called Brain Capers that we'd done. And he rang up and said, you shouldn't have split. The band's too good to split. So we said, well, we got to. You know, we're in debt and we're fed up. He said, well, don't worry about it. I'll send you some material down. He sent us Suffragette City for a single. I didn't like that. And then he sent us... Well, we went up to see him, actually, and he played us All Young Dudes, and we said, that's the one.
After that period, you were having some great success in Matahupo, selling out tours in America and in England, and you had a whole string of hits. What were some of the hits that you had?
In England, we had about eight altogether. All the Way from Memphis was a hit. Roll Away the Stone was a hit. Golden Age of Rock and Roll was a hit. Hallelujah Boogie was a hit. There was another called Foxy Foxy was a hit. And then there was eight in all, and then we didn't have hits. We put two out that were stiffed, and this was just before the end of the group. And then I put out Once Bitten, Twice Shy over there, and that's a hit. Mm-hmm. So this will be like the ninth hit.
Now this is the end of the group. What?
No, it's not.
They've
got another singer and another guitar player,
and they're going on.
They're carrying on, calling themselves Mott.
The band had some problems getting a guitar player. Ego problems, was it, or something, or what?
Mick and I did an album called Mott. Mm-hmm. Mick Ralphs was the guitar player then. He's now with Bad Company, and he didn't quite like the way it was going. He didn't quite like the Mott album, mm-hmm. So he more or less left because of that. Formed a band with Paul Rodgers, the second guitar player. Ariel Bender, who was amazing within the band, you know, he was an incredible guy. The morale of the band was sky high. Didn't actually suit the band musically. And then when Ronson came in, somehow Mick and I leapt off in another direction. Mm-hmm. It was real strange. So we both had to leave the band. I mean, I couldn't sack them all, do you know what I mean? They were my mates. It was an amicable sort of ending, but I just didn't want to stay with them. I wanted to do something more rhythmic.
That new combination, of course, is you and Mick on a new album, right?
Yeah.
And how is that how does that differ from Mott Hoople in what you just explained?
It's just kind of more, to me it's better and it's more rhythmic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's what the listener thinks, because mm-hmm. they buy it. I don't buy it, I make them, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just a foundation for me. I'm going to do solo albums. That's the first one, that's the foundation. It's just the start of like what I consider to be like perhaps a 2-year onslaught on the United States to try and...
Is that a start of a working relationship with Mick Ronson, or is Mick a featured artist or guest on your first solo attempt?
It's my album, and he is the co-producer, the arranger, uh-huh. and the guitar player. And more or less what he did for Dave, and he was doing it for Dave on a fixed salary, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With me, he does it on a partnership basis. In that way, we're partners, you see.
You're living here in the United States now?
Yeah, I live in... I live about 40 miles north of New York.
Why do you live here now and not in England?
Well, everybody thinks it's because of tax reasons. It's not, because I can in fact get around it, so to speak, in England and stay there. It was because the place was so apathetic and down in energy. Mm-hmm. That I was running out of lyrics, and it was frightening, because there's nothing worse than a songwriter with nothing to say.
Is it true that taxes are higher there than in this country?
Well, legitimately, I would have to pay 93%, whereas here, I would have to pay 50%. There, I need only pay 50%. If apparently you do get into this whole thing where lawyers make a lot of money, mm-hmm. and they send your money around the world, and it comes back, and you only pay 50%. Well, I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to pay my money direct, and I don't care who it is, just give it them and live.
Do you think, musically speaking, it's more competitive in London than it is here in the States?
That I couldn't tell you. I don't know, having not ever lived here. I mean, I've been living here this time for 3 months. That's the most I've ever been in the States. I couldn't tell you.
You chose New York, why?
Because the seasons. I mean, I'm English born and bred, and I shall go back to England sometime, and it got four seasons. The West Coast would throw me a little bit, because I just grew up and I like the four seasons, you know. Mm-hmm.
Your music in the past has seemed to appeal to especially a certain select group, and that would be the gay glitter rock scene. Would you call that a correct analysis of that?
No, I'd call it incorrect analysis. Yeah. We got involved and we got audiences like that because we were very involved with David and mm-hmm. Main Man, but mm-hmm. the whole reason why Dave liked us and we liked Dave was because we were opposites. I mean, we were a flash band. Mm-hmm. We always were, but I always felt we were flash in the same way that the Stones were flash. Mm-hmm. We liked to jump about and dress good, but we didn't wear lipstick or mascara. I mean, this audience came to us because they figured we were part of this wave, and we'd done David's All the Young Dudes, which was a great awakening. It was a great come out of the closets. Everything's mm-hmm. cool, you can be homosexual and nobody's going to kill you, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It did a lot for a lot of people. Yeah. Well, yeah, because they're just like anybody else. If, you know, I don't care what colour, whatever they are, or what genes, you know what I mean?
Rock and
roll. It doesn't matter. If they get off on what you play, they come, you know, they're welcome.
Okay, good.